Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
Sarah Hughes is a Tamaki-based artist known for her rich exploration and geometric abstraction through her dynamic installations and painting practice. Hughes continuously investigates colour and composition, tuning into their own inherent language to produce these dazzling paintings that hold this wonderful capacity for light, movement and memory. In her current exhibition, Colour Memories, at Gow Langsford's Onehunga location, Hughes presents a beautiful new body of paintings that continues in her exploration of memory, but more specifically to these ideas of artistic influence and lineage. Within Colour Memories, Hughes approaches these ideas of artistic lineage by directly responding to 11 female painters that have influenced her own artistic practice over the years, bringing both their paintings and Hughes' response paintings into the gallery space, creating a space of direct dialogue, response, and exchange between works and artists. I caught up with Sarah about the show and overall practice.
Hi, my name is Sarah Hughes. I'm an artist and I work in a range of different ways and different materials, but I definitely feel very connected to painting. That's what I studied at Elam for my undergraduate and my master's. But you'll often find my work also in public installations, public artworks around the city, like the Convention Centre building that's almost finished, or in places like Auckland Art Gallery or different public art galleries as well.
Wonderful. And your current exhibition, Colour Memories, on at Gow Langsford, displays a beautiful new body of paintings that explore these ideas of memory, influence, and artistic lineage. This project was developed over several years. I'd like to go back a bit to the beginning of this project and talk a bit about the emergence of this particular body of work. What kind of prompted you towards the exploration of those themes and, to dive into the specific project?
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, it's something that didn't just sort of pop up. It sort of developed over time, and I think in many ways the show is quite biographical, and perhaps there's a sort of an aspect of turning 50 and kind of reflecting back and thinking about things that are important to you in your life and people that have been important. And as an artist, thinking back through that lineage and kind of wanting to recognise and give thanks, but also kind of understanding deeply the way that those people, some of them that you haven't even known or ever met, but have given you either, it's not always just visual influence, but courage, or given you ways of thinking, or given you ways of looking that has really been impactful on your practice.
And this exhibition does something so special, creating the space of cross-generational conversation between female painters, bringing the works from 11 female painters that have influenced your own artistic practice into the gallery space to sit in conversation with your own works. I read the accompanying essay by Dina Yezdik, and she says this wonderful line that says, "To invite them into the studio is to expose the root system of artistic life, those unseen exchanges of influence, care, and inheritance that sustain creative growth." Would you like to speak a bit to the role or influence of these women within your own artistic practice? What have you inherited from their practices?
That's quite a wide question. And I think, like you mentioned, with Dina Yezdik's essay, I really loved that analogy to the forest floor, that it's something dense and alive and interconnected, and the way that, there's like a network, or there's a system of weaving, and so it's interesting to kind of use some of those words in relation to answering that question, because there are 11 different artists, and the artists themselves are very different from one another. I was a little concerned how, their work would sit within the same space. If you think about someone like Frances Hodgkins, or someone more contemporary like Katharina Grosse, a German artist. But I think to answer your question, I probably have to talk a little bit specifically about each artist. It's a little hard to speak generally. So perhaps the sort of starting point almost, or the impetus for the show, was a painting by Gretchen Albrecht that I actually was lucky to grow up with. I grew up in the far north in the Hokianga, in the end of a very rural valley, basically surrounded by the bush. My parents built a house, And I grew up with these two paintings, though. They had known Gretchen at university. And they are something I kind of come back to in terms of, you know, they gave me a lot to think about when I was young. I lived there until the age of 14, so very sort of formative years where I would spend time just free-ranging and then being in this environment with these two paintings. And so I've included one of the paintings in the exhibition, and I guess in some ways that's a starting point. And the work that I've created is called, in response, is called Weka Weka Valley, Thinking of GA. So in all of the titles of the work, there's also a sense of place, a sense of a particular time where I've thought or been quite influenced by that artist. And so I guess there's sort of like little clues within that. So if I then move to another artist included in the exhibition, Jacqueline Fahey, with her painting Grandma and Emily from 1992. Jacqueline Fahey was one of my lecturers at Elam. And she was a fantastic, you know, amazing energy. At the time, I was lucky to have also Don Binney, Dick Frizzell and Bob Ellis, but she was the first woman lecturer that I had at Elam. And she really encouraged me to research and to present this lecture on woman artists that I'd always remember. And I think it was her way of giving me more understanding of what I was part of. And so I think there's, as an artist, you don't, you know, just work on your by yourself, and you know, you're part of this lineage. And so this exhibition is also quite a strong aspect of that. It's thinking about different, you know, different times of your life. You know, for example, my first time seeing a Bridget Riley when I was 18 in New York, I'd seen images in books and in slides at art history lectures, but I, you know, still remember really vividly the way that that painting really oscillated in front of my eyes, which was very different than in a, you know, magazine or in a print aspect.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, I mean, I could go through all the artists. I feel like, so in terms of it's not sort of, you know, all artists from a particular time, you know, in my life, but I guess that's was how I selected the artist. The curation of the exhibition and including other artists wasn't something I'd done before, so that was quite new, and it took quite a lot of time to think about that and think about, you know, firstly, there could be a lot longer list to include. These are not the only artists to have influenced me or been important to my life or practice or thinking and making. But it, I guess it was a process where that sort of distills. And it felt like just naturally there seemed to be people that were sort of important throughout different periods of my life. And I think that was the way that came together. You know, an artist like Louis Tenderson is someone I've always known, but it wasn't really until I saw the big retrospective of her work that Felicity Milburn and Lara Strongman and Julia Waite put together at Auckland Art Gallery, that also travelled to Christchurch. Where I saw that sort of overview of her work, and kind of that really made me understand it more. And I saw the paintings that she did near the end of her life, what she called the month paintings, you know, January, February, March. And there was just something that was really affecting for me at that particular time in that particular exhibition.
Yeah, it's so beautiful how it's like these artistic influences aren't just there for, you know, colour and composition, but that they come into your life and, yeah, and it's really intertwined and woven into your own personal memories and your personal journey. And, yeah, you remember seeing them at specific times, and it all kind of, yeah, builds together. And it's so lovely that they've been brought into the space.
Yeah, so I guess they all have, you know, they all have very personal stories. Just to touch on another one, it was very exciting and thrilling to actually see the works come into the gallery. Some of them are not in Auckland, so I travelled to Wellington to see Seraphine's pick, Easy Living, from 2015, which is at Victoria University, and then down to the Suter Gallery in Nelson to see the Mina Arndt work that's included, which is Mother and Child from 1919. And yeah, really fantastic that the lenders and the supporters and the different institutions and collectors were able to lend me this works to be able to have, because I didn't want to just sort of, it was really important to have the works in the exhibition. And also another quite big decision for me to make was the scale of the work. And I thought quite a lot about that, of my response work. You know, would it be smaller? Would it be bigger? And in the end, it was really important that it was exactly the same size. So it wasn't really a discussion about scale, but that it just sort of was in the space, I think. And that was, yeah, that was great for me to see that come together. You know, when you have an idea, you know, always a little bit nervous sometimes until you see it realised or see it there on the wall. And so, you know, particularly, you know, when the Mina Arndt work came out, it hasn't left Nelson before. And so, you know, that's quite a major thing to see it here in Auckland. And there's a very strong connection with my grandmother who lived in Nelson. And growing up, me and my brother or family would always go to Nelson for summer holidays. But often when me and my brother went down, my grandmother would take us to the Studer Art Gallery, and we would look at the McCanns and the Wollastons and the Arndt collections, and do things like go and feed the ducks nearby at Victoria Park. And the title of my work, my response work to the Mina Arndt, is called Victoria Park, thinking of MA. And so I think with this particular body of work, there's also, like, you know, I guess you can generalise and maybe say I'm more of an abstract painter, but there's always a lot of reference and content within the abstraction. But perhaps in this exhibition, there's also glimpses of a little glimpses of representational imagery sort of in behind these washes or transparent areas. And there's I guess in terms of like the actual painting itself, there's a sort of interest in the kind of this holding of something that's sort of like very sort of spontaneous and intuitive painting and very controlled painting with the sort of layers that come over the top that sort of allow you to see through but not quite, and hopefully sort of pull you in and out of the painting surface.
Yeah, and how does it feel having, like, for you yourself, seeing your works in such a direct dialogue? And because, yeah, seeing them all together, it must be quite overwhelming or quite, yeah, I don't know. Could you talk me through, yeah, what that feels like for you by seeing the show?
Yeah, when I came to, you know, all the works leave the studio and then you arrive at the gallery and they were all sort of laid out, you know, not put up, because I had some ideas of where I wanted things, but you always end up changing things around when you see them in the space. But there was a sense of being, oh my gosh, there's the Agnes Martin, and oh my gosh, there's the Rosalie Gascoigne, and just having that sort of moment of like, I feel like I've done this deep dive and down into this particular work. Of course, it's more than just the work, it's the artist. It's the artist's writing, it's the artist's thinking, but somehow there's also this deep dive into this particular painting and having a really slow look at that, which is not something you often get time to do as well. And so I think because of that, just sort of seeing the works was really overwhelming. Like I think the lovely technicians at Garlandsford, you know, I almost had like a little teary moment when the Agnes Martins and my work were hung, because it was like, oh my gosh, it's sort of, I think that work, because it's 10 lithographs of hers and then 10 paintings of mine the same size, was perhaps the most tricky one. And I was like, oh, is this going to work? And then it just felt magic when it was up on the wall. It felt like, oh, that's kind of better than I imagined. It just feels particularly, all artwork is, all exhibitions are personal, but perhaps this feels a little bit more like bearing your soul and your stories and your thoughts even more in some ways.
Yeah. Oh, how beautiful to have, to have the show. Could you tell me a bit more about this creative process of response? What did that process look like for you, that, responding to these particular artworks?
I think I was saying to someone recently, it felt like quite a different process in terms of how I normally approach a show. You know, often I'm an artist who tends to kind of collect a lot of information and research and read, and kind of I need all that behind me before I start making. And I definitely needed that with this show too. But you sort of often I collect all this information, then I start making and you kind of get a roll going. But it felt like it was almost like a mini exhibition for each artist. And that was, yeah, quite challenging in some ways because I couldn't really work on different works at the same time. So when I was creating, for example, you know, the Philippa Blair work, I couldn't be working on the Catarina Gross response work. I just felt like I really needed to really focus on that specific painting, but then, you know, I was listening to different interviews or reading about the artist as well. So I felt like I almost really wanted to immerse myself in there are artists I know well, but, you know, I'm not always thinking about their work all the time, and so it was a great chance just to kind of step back and really feel surrounded. So it's surrounded by that particular painting. You know, I would go and visit the works that were in the exhibition and do things like, it wasn't about matching colour, but I really wanted to understand, you know, colour's a big part of my practice, so I would take colour swatches just to kind of really understand things like the colour and the space. But then it was also thinking about, you know, someone like Philippa Blair. She was one of my good friend's mum growing up, and, you know, she was just Philippa Blair. But, you know, thinking back and thinking about, you know, now that I have children, like, you know, she was a solo mum, she was bringing up children, she was teaching, she was, you know, like, you know, this top woman artist, you know, young in the 1980s and vibrant, and, you know, you sort of, I took that for granted at the time. It was just, you know, part of your life. And so I think there was, you know, I was writing quite a bit as well, making notes. So it felt like there was, yeah, just this real immersion in terms of the response. I didn't want it to be as sort of black and white as this is the painting I'm responding to and this is my response. It felt like it needed to be really a lot deeper than that. And I think that that's why sort of, you know, some of the things about, you know, particular aspects of place came up. And also experiences over the last few years kind of also have found their way into particular works. Catarina Grosse, she's a German artist, but she was doing an art residency when I was doing my master's at Elam. So it must have been about 2001. And a group of master's students helped her on a big billboard project that she did. And I just remember really clearly, you know, she works with the spray gun, not spray cans, but the spray gun. And just sort of, you know, because we were handing her the spray gun up and down the scaffolding, but just seeing the way that the spray was flying through the air and hitting the surface. And when I was in Taupo earlier in the year, my husband's an artist, Gregor Krieger, and he was installing a big sculpture called Boom Boom that we went with the boys to see Hooker Falls. And there was just that thing. Sometimes you see, or I see, I see the landscape, or I see things sort of through other artists. And I just saw all the sort of spray and the way it was catching the light. And it just gave me that sort of moment of, gosh, that really makes me think about back to doing, helping with that billboard painting. And so that particular title of that work is called Hooker Falls, Thinking of KG. So I guess there's sort of many layers in terms of that, the way I approach the response. And not that everyone needs to know those or see those when they see the work, but that was a really important aspect and process for me.
Yeah, wonderful. This really conscious sitting with the artist and absorbing, yeah, not just the painting, but the things around them and the things that would have surrounded them.
Things that were surrounding me as well.
Yeah.
So it's not really it's a one-way conversation, but there's somehow a sort of somehow like a sort of a deep dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Going on.
Yeah, a dialogue that's not just within the paintings. And diving a bit more into your own kind of use of materiality and colour and composition, your paintings display this gorgeous understanding of colour and paint, tuning into their own inherent languages to produce these striking paintings. Do you want to speak a bit more to your layered use of colour within your works that evoke this wonderful display of light and movement within your paintings?
That's a nice way of putting it. Thank you. I think colour's always been really fascinating to me since I've been young. You know, I remember trying to catalogue leaves and the different greens and things and then being disappointed the next day when they'd all faded. Mm. But so I think there's a sort of a really strong inherent interest in colour. And, you know, I mean, colour sometimes gets a bit of a bad rap in art of being sort of decorative or feminine, but I think, you know, many artists don't. I mean, that's not a problem either. Mm. But I think, you know, I think colour's much more than that is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think there's, and it's extremely powerful, you know, there's an emotive response to colour. But there's also, like, you know, histories of ways colours were used and pigments and ways that colours were invented for artists' use in so many different ways. And I think through different projects and different exhibitions, I've investigated colour in lots of different ways. But just to talk about the colour in these works, I think what I'm really interested in now, as you mentioned, is the sort of the way that light and colour is about capturing that. And I guess that's something that artists have been trying to do for millennia. But I come to it, I guess through my own way, but informed by all these other artists who have also investigated those sorts of things. But particularly, I'm interested in the sort of, like, at the moment, a lot of transparent layers and the ways that, you know, the underpainting will influence the top layers and the way that there's a kind of, as a way, I think, to draw viewers into the artwork. I do a lot of public artworks, and the work I mentioned at the beginning, the New Zealand International Convention Centre, is all on glass, and that work's been going on for a very long time. But when I first started that, I was really intrigued with the way that working on glass, the way the natural light captured that and illuminated that. And so there was an aspect of interest that I wanted to then kind of reflect back into the paintings. I wasn't working on glass, but how could I, you know, create that sort of sense of movement and shift of light and luminosity, I guess. And so that's been quite a focus for a while now.
Beautiful. Yeah, it really shows within the work. It's, yeah, I love the beautiful layers that kind of, yeah, build up, and I think speak really nicely to sitting with all of these other artists and that kind of layered metaphor of all these kind of different women and different, yeah, things all coming together in that space.
That's a really nice way to put it. I like the layered metaphor.
That was Sarah Hughes speaking to me about Colour Memories, which is currently on at Gow Langsford's Onehunga location until the 29th of November. There is also an artist talk at the gallery this Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. So head along to that to get some more info and see the work in person.